This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome you to the program. And this is a special day for us. We just got out of the hospital, and so a couple days ago, and we're honored to be back in the seat here again. We missed it so much, but we were honored to have Miss Margie Sweeney sitting across from me. She filled in for us the week we were gone, and so I want to thank her. And so we have Margie Sweeney's there, Bob McKnight, Sharon Thomas, and myself, and we're going to pursue looking at the pictures of the Messiah in different ways, but also this program's called Raising the Standard, and that's what we want. We see so much lax today in so many areas in the church where people just, I don't know, just nonchalantly walk along with the Lord, but we have to be sold out to Him, and so we greet you, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And I want to greet Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island in the Bahamas. And they call almost every day to check in with us. And we're so proud of them and what they're doing over there with their apostolic and prophetic dimension that's been brought on that island. And their building's getting there. The roof's coming along, as we mentioned before. If anybody would like to add any money to the roof building that he wants to get done, he was hoping before the real rainy season, but he's working on it. So if you'd like to do that, just send a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. And mark on the check for Roscoe and Audrey, or you just put Andros Island on there and we'll know what it's for, okay?
Amen.
And we'll make sure they get it all. So, all right.
So we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Yes,
amen. Hi there.
Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Yes, you know, Audrey spends a whole day fasting and praying.
She sure does.
I believe it's on Thursday, and all day long fasting and praying. So that's, God has called us all to do more of that. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, and we do want to thank all of you for praying for us.
Yes.
And for the texts and the prayers that you've sent and the phone calls, and we just thank the Lord for it. And, well, we just have to trust the Lord in the final decision. Pastor Gene was in for lots of tests, and I still don't have all the answers. So it's, you know, we're in God's hands, and that's where we're going to have to remain. Amen, trusting Him. I want to mention that we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and Margie explained what Shabbat was a lot last week, and it's honoring the Sabbath. You know, a lot of people honor the Sabbath on a Saturday, and that's when that's the seventh day, and that's what God said in the commandments, and also even
it's not Sunday, is it? That's for
also
sure.
Also, before the commandments, so Sunday is the first day of the week. That's the day that Yeshua rose from the grave.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, we're not to. There's not a particular way or that you have to honor the Sabbath. It's loving God and worshiping God, and different people do it different ways. And so we are not basically, we're none of us in here are, that we know of, Pastor Gene might be, have Jewish blood in us, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Even before the Jews were called Jews, God set the Sabbath up back in the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
So we honor the Sabbath, and that's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you'd like to come, we're at the Alliance Church. That's here in Stuart, Florida, on Osceola Street. It's 445 Southeast Osceola Street. So come join us and worship God with us, because we worship God, because the Bible says the testimony of Jesus, Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy. So I want to give our telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007 if you'd like to give us a phone call. Okay?
Amen.
And Pastor Gene, and if you'd like to offer, like he said, if you'd like to help out with this radio broadcast, it's $165 every week. So we'd be blessed to be able to have you come and help out. Amen?
Amen.
So, Pastor Gene, what are you going to teach on today?
Well, you know, I talked to so many people over the years, and I'm just thinking even last year, and everybody has a different opinion how we should do certain things with the appointed times. Now, my thing to you, you're listening, was any of you alive when Jesus walked the earth? Do we know how they did exactly what they say they were doing? And so man's made up some thoughts that they think happened, but maybe it's not necessarily true. Like some people don't like lighting candles at the Shabbat because the scripture doesn't say to light a candle. Was there something wrong with lighting a candle, you know? No. But those kind of things we have. And there's a lot of questions about stuff. So I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2 with you. Okay. I'm going to read most of this chapter. And it's interesting how Paul wrote this, and right in the end of all of his dissertation here, he comes in with a couple of interesting comments that we need to look at closely, and we'll see that he was telling all the people in that day. And you know, Colossians, the city of Colossae, was a Gentile city and all that. And so he was telling them what he knew from his Jewish understanding as a Pharisee and all that. And so he began to explain to them that God honors us to do all the appointed times,
yes,
the Sabbath, and all those things, and don't be judged in how you do it. He says, just do it.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Do it and honor it. And you can do it so many different ways, you know. And so that's what we want to talk about a little bit here. So I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be done in a church.
No.
People can, at home.
You can do it at home.
Many people have Shabbat on Friday night,
sure,
at their home, and they have a dinner. And
yeah.
If you go to a Jewish home, and especially those who don't believe in Yeshua, you know, everything is very, very strict.
Yeah.
Well, we're not to be judged on that. You know, Jesus set us free, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeshua set us free.
They want to be strict. That's their choice.
Yes.
But we don't want to try to force anything on somebody else, especially something legalistic. And we've talked about that a lot on our program, of all the things that Jesus dealt with people that twisted the scripture after mankind's understanding what they wanted. And he was showing them that was not God's will, like about washing your hands before you eat and all that stuff, you know. And so he presented all that, and he told people not to get into legalism at all. And we got to remember that. And so to me, doing all these things, this is an honor.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how I do it.
Yes.
The main thing is I honor Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior and our Messiah. And as we do, well, then we know everything's going to be right. And he knows where we're at. And so we can't put some one plan on everybody. Every church has a different thought about different things, don't they?
Yes.
Now, I've read a lot of books on church government, and they all have some good things, and then a lot of the stuff you can see is legalistic. And so we got to somehow come to what God has in the Word of God. So our thought with our ministry is we want to be like the church was in the book of Acts, to establish it that way. And what was it? First, the apostle. Second, the prophet. Third, the teacher. And we go on down with all the God put them in place in the church. And so we don't want to get locked into some thought that doing something one way is wrong and another way is right.
Well, yeah, that's what they picked on Yeshua, because he was doing things on the Sabbath, and
they thought it was wrong.
They were scolding him. They were telling him it was wrong.
You can't do that on the Sabbath.
You know, they called him the devil.
That's right. So let's read a little bit here. Let's start in verse 1 and read. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the acknowledgement, this is key, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That was really a mystery, wasn't it, way back? And part of it was that the Gentiles would be part of the kingdom of God. And then verse 3, in whom are hid what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. See, people try to do this. They try to beguile you into doing something that's not necessarily in the scriptures. But we don't.
That could be deceive you.
That could be deceive you. That's going to deceive you. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, order our lifestyle after him. Rooted, hallelujah, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therewith thanksgiving. Now this verse 8 is a key verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Or we could say the elements of the world. For in him, who's this? Yeshua, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head over of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins and of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know, I've even read some articles over the years telling Gentiles, if they're not circumcised, you know, to be pleasing to God, to get circumcised. What is that? Amen. That's the rudiments of the world, and that's not true.
Amen.
The circumcision of the heart is what counts.
It's the heart.
That's right. 12, buried with him. Hear that? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now we're going to get to the good part. And you, as all of us in this room, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, we were at one time, hath he what? Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You ought to shout on that one.
Thank you, Amen. Lord.
Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, I've heard this talk, that they're talking about the Torah, getting rid of the Torah. This is not talking about the Torah. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Every one of us, if we were nailed to a cross like Christ was in his day, they put a plaque over your cross, and they told you the crimes that you were involved with.
Yes.
So, what do? He blotted all that out. And then 15 says, and having spoiled, I love this, spoiled principalities and powers, he
Hallelujah.
Made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. Now, here's the two verses I'm thinking about. Let no man then, all of a sudden Paul jumps and throws this in there. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, I want you to notice something. If you look at your Bible, the word days is in italics. It was added for the people to understand what it's about. Now, if Paul was just talking about the weekly Sabbath, that would have been it. He would have said, what? And of the Sabbath. But it says Sabbath days because there's seven high Sabbaths that revolve around God's prophetic calendar at the appointed times every single year. And God expects us to understand that and to honor those Sabbaths as well. Okay? So look at these things. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink. Now, this doesn't mean that we can just go out and eat whatever we want or anything.
No.
God's got instructions for us. And we know the Jews would honor the certain things that they have to do. You know, they're all kosher. They do certain things. But we can eat things and not be concerned about it. Or in what you drink, as long as it's not alcohol or something. Or in respect of a holy day. So what would that holy day would be what? An appointed time that God has. Or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. You know, they have a holiday, basically, the Jews every year. every month, I should say, on the new moon. They celebrate it for 2 days. And why? Because in Jesus' day, they didn't know for sure when the new moon appeared.
Yes.
So they honored it for 2 days. So he's telling us not to do that. And then verse 17 brings the whole thing together. It says, which are a shadow, or it means a resemblance of things to come, but the body is what? It's of Christ. So it's all about him. So we got to, you know, quit pointing fingers and say, well, you should have done it that way. You should have done it this way. We do it however God wants to show us. And so for a long time, you know, we never did the Sabbath for a long time.
Yes.
And God began to deal with Don and I over the years. And with some of the connections we had, and we begin to realize that the Sabbath is so important. And a lot of people don't even realize, you know this, Pastor Don, too, is very quite well. If you read the Ten Commandments at the beginning, which one's right in the middle? It doesn't say, it says to honor, to remember. Remember the Sabbath. So it means it was established long before the Torah was ever put in place. And you can check that out in Genesis chapter 1. What did God do? He rested on what day? The seventh day. That was the day of rest.
Yes.
And so he's just telling us what he went through to show us we should be living the same way and remembering those things. And so, and I keep telling people, I have people tell me all the time, well, now Saturday's not the Sabbath anymore. Sunday's the Sabbath. No, Sunday's the first day of the week. So we got to maintain that and keep that in our mind. And then verse 18 here is interesting after chapter 2, verse 17. Let no man, listen to this now, beguile you. What's that mean? Judge you and all of your reward in involuntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So we don't want to be beguiled, do we? We don't worship angels, do we? No, we don't.
No.
We worship the Messiah. And that was something that was done at one time as well. And some people still do that even today, I think. And I remember we had a period in the church where you could go to the bookstore and you could buy an angel pin for a toothache or whatever you might have, you know. So he's telling us about that. Now, verse 19, and holding the head. Who's the head? Yeshua HaMashiach, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, we don't live like the world do. We're in this world, but we're not part of it. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? See, we just read up there what? In verse 14, all those ordinances have been what? Nailed to the cross.
Yes.
Touch not. Hear this? Touch not. Taste not. I hear this all the time. Handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of who? Of men. And Jesus brought this up quite often. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility and the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on those things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I love it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And we're all looking forward to that day, aren't we?
Hallelujah.
And then he tells us about all these things to stay away from. It's the worldly elements.
Yes.
So 16 and 17 are so important in this chapter about establishing things. And so, you know, all of God's appointed times, everything he has is important. Everything he tells us is important. And so keep all that in mind. So don't let anybody judge you how you keep the Sabbath, as long as you honor the Sabbath. Don't let anybody judge you how you keep, we're going to be coming up on Rosh Hashanah for too long. All the things we can think about. Here we are now, we're in the month of Tammuz. How in the world did the Jewish people ever put that name on their calendar when Tammuz was a pagan god? You kind of wonder, don't you, huh? And then look at our calendar, January, February, March, April. Those are all after pagan, those are all pagan names.
Even Sunday.
Even Sunday, yeah.
Named after the sun god.
The sun god. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got to do things the way God shows us. And we got a great, this book is the outline of our life. You know, people read that book years ago, My Purpose-Driven Life. Remember the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? Well, my purpose-driven life is right here. I'm holding it in my hands. You got one at home.
Word of God.
This should be your purpose-driven life. Doesn't matter what some man thinks, it's what he's told us. And so we have to maintain that. And so the book of Acts, oh my Lord, you know, it says the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Ghost working through the apostles. But if we could just follow how they established things and all, well, then we won't be getting into all this error and everything, you know. Well, you can't do this. You can't light a candle. You can't do that. Well, we can do whatever the Lord would show us to do. And like when we do our Shabbat, we don't do a real fancy thing. We honor the Lord, say the prayers that the Jewish people said for hundreds of years.
Pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem. And
worship
and
God, have worship music, God.
That's
singing.
Right, have music and singing.
Teaching.
And we open up, and that's what we do on the Shabbat. So, and for a long time, we didn't honor the Sabbath at all, as Don and I, even in the church. But we finally realized that we want to honor not only the Sabbath, but also the first day of the week. Now, maybe somebody don't have this, but I got a book at home called the Didache. It's some teachings from the early church fathers. And if you read through all that, which I have, they'll show you in there that the early church, they honored the Sabbath and also the first day of the week. They didn't take one out and throw the other one away. They honored both of them.
Right.
We can see over there when Paul was, remember when Eutychus fell out of the window when he was preaching late at night? They just closed out the Sabbath and he was starting to teach. And this was what? On the first day of the week. And so we just have to do what God chose, and that's it. So they honored it both. So why yes. can't we? So we finally decided with the help of the Lord, we're going to do what? The Sabbath, and we're going to also honor the first day of the week. Amen?
And the Bible Amen. Says that we honor every day.
Every day is the Lord's day. Everything's the Lord's
right.
day. All right.
And why in the beginning, why was the Sabbath thrown out? I mean, why did the people want you to stop? Because they were against the Jewish people.
But, yeah.
So why
Fan
was it thrown
the enemy.
Out? Right, and is the enemy, and why did they say it's, you know, Sunday is the time to worship?
Well,
when did that all begin?
The Romans started. Constantine with his, everybody assumed he accepted Christ. I don't know whether he did or not. So they changed all those things. And Christmas was put in there, and we've talked about that a lot on this program. Yeshua was not born at Christmas time, okay? And all the different things, it was changed. And the feasts were changed and all these things. And so no wonder the church got confused.
Yes.
And so it went from a Holy Ghost-filled, mainly Jewish group to start with. And as the years went by, more and more Gentiles came into the body of Christ, and they began to take over, and they wanted to do what they want. Can we have a little bit of this? Can we have a little bit of that from my religion? Can we have a little bit of this? Amen?
It's called mixture.
Mixture, yeah.
And God doesn't like that.
Don't like no mixture.
No mixture.
All right. So, that's what we're trying to share with you today. Just follow the Word of God, and you will never go wrong. And don't make up what somebody's told you, or what you think, or you perceive. Take it literally for what God, He wrote this down for you to understand. It's not that difficult. It's really not. And some people say, well, the King James Version, you can't understand. Yeah, you can, too. It's simple. Remember, when you see the ye in this book, it means you all. It's Southern for you all. So it's for everyone that's a believer. It's for every single one. And we've got, you know, groups in the church today who are selecting out certain things that we should be not doing or doing. Like I always go back to speaking in tongues, you know. Most of the church will tell you can't do that today. Well, I don't understand where that came from. That's another man-made thought. God put that in place and it's never changed. He wants us to have that personal relationship with Him. And so When you need help, that's the one to call upon.
Yes.
Call upon the Lord, and He's there to build your strength and show you the way. And so we got so many things we've taken away from the Word of God that we can't do. Amen. We had a well-known pastor, not mentioning names anymore, that here in town, and he made a mockery out of people that had the baptism. They claimed, he said, to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He thought it was a bunch of jibber jabber. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would never want to be walking in his shoes, because when you stand before God. There's a scripture that says, anything that you do that would blaspheme what God has said, and these are things that he said, will not be forgiven in this life or the one to come. Yes. So I would never question it in any way, shape, or form. If it's in this book, it means it's for today. Amen.
We have to let God judge. Amen.
He'll be the judge, not
Amen.
Us.
Amen. And we should have discernment to know
Absolutely.
What's right and what's wrong.
Absolutely.
Praise God. Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Somebody else now.
Well, I was just thinking about, we have a guest speaker coming
okay.
in August,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Bree Keaton.
Yes.
Bree, B-R-E-E, Keaton, K-E-Y-T-O-N. And she's been here in Stuart many times. She's a prayer warrior. She's an evangelist. She's many things. She's a prophetess. She's a teacher of the Word of God. She teaches in a college.
She's a full professor.
And she is once spirit and truth. She's once spirit and truth. And no playing around, no games. Amen?
No games.
So we're blessed to have her. And I have Sharon here. And Sharon's going to say a little something about
Sharon
Bree.
Thomas, yes.
Sharon Thomas. Mitchell. Sharon Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell, I'm sorry.
Mitchell, thank you, Lord.
Hi. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to give honor where honor is due. We just love our evangelist missionary, Dr. Bree. And as you were saying, she has been also a professor at Faith Bible College, where she does the curriculum, and she is also on the board of directors of research there. She's also been on the 700 Club, TBN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Supernatural, and many international TV and radio shows. And we are very blessed to have her in the area. Currently, Bree's main focus has been on rescuing the pygmies out of the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
The Congo, yeah.
She's got up to 70,000 pygmies and growing as she rescues them from the trees. They have their villages in little trees there. And she comes in, and her and her team lead the pygmies to the Lord. They bring many gifts for the pygmies to help them to be established. And they set up little villages there where they can be safe and learn about the Lord.
Amen.
And it's just a wonderful thing. If you would like to go on the website she has and see pictures of it, it's very uplifting. Her website is www.worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com, all one word. And we're blessed to have her August 10th at 1 p.m. at the Stuart Alliance Church, which is located next to Mark Memorial North, which is now Cleveland Clinic North, at Stuart Alliance, and this is for your GPS, 445 Southeast Osceola Street, Stuart, Florida.
Yes. Come and you'll be blessed, I'll tell you that.
Amen.
You'll want her not to quit talking.
I know.
She says she's got some things to tell us that a lot of people never heard before.
And she's going to tell us about her current missionary trips and all her current work that she's been doing with the pygmies. Come out. It's very enjoying, and you'll learn a lot.
I'll tell you one thing also, Sharon. She's a psalmist.
Yes.
She has a beautiful voice, and she has written many songs. And she's also, like you said, a warrior, and she's a prayer warrior. And she stands in the gap. And we've had prayer walks here in Stuart with her. And she goes down to the Keys every time.
Not,
and no one pays her to go down there. She goes down there on her own to pray, because she says that there's a lot of demonic things that come in through
Absolutely.
Those gates. It's a gate to America. And so that is a very important thing. She's prayer walked many, many places in many, many countries. She teaches pastors. She was down in South America, I believe it was. I'm not sure, but she has taught like 2,000 pastors. She's done a lot of things, and she's a prophetess as well. She has God has gifted her with many, many gifts, and she's a teacher. She is an apostolic teacher, and she goes into some deep things about our nation and about our country. And the Lord has shown her many things. What is the name of that little book that she wrote, Sharon?
That, remember that little book she wrote?
That
she gave it to everybody in Congress.
Everyone in Congress.
Several years ago.
There's a book about America.
I forget what it was.
Is it Elijah versus Jezebel?
No, that's
not that one.
No. It's about America.
She's looking for it all.
Yeah.
She has written many books. And one of them she gave, one year she gave back those books to everyone in Congress.
Everyone
and
got a
house,
copy of it.
Everyone sent it. They all got one of those books.
Right.
And it's about America. She has a lot of what would I say, insight to the things that are happening in the nations. And she sees that prophetically, and she will share on some of those things. We also have her on the radio program that Friday
week
before we're the 10th.
Yeah.
So it'll be the 10th of August at 1 o'clock, and we're going to hold most everything back so she can do the teaching. And she will, you know, she can go on and on. We normally have her for 3 days, and she teaches and teaches and teaches and prays for people. And you will be blessed. Her and her son Dylan will be here on August the 10th. If there's any pastors out there that would like to have her come and speak at any at their churches on a Saturday or home meetings, you know, she perhaps would be willing to do that as well. Amen. So she is a blessing.
Amen.
She doesn't demand any certain amount. She just wants to get the word out and to share what God has given her, which is an abundance of knowledge. And she'll pray for us, too. She'll pray for you and speak the word of God.
And she's seen about everything you can see in the world. I mean, demonic, it's unbelievable. You'll say, wow, you know, the things that she's seen went through. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine those people over there, those not the natives, but the guerrilla people there, with the warfare going on? They were killing those pygmies and eating them. That's how bad it was.
She's taken hundreds of mattresses to them, food. I mean, all kinds of things. And, you know, she's been in the Congo. She goes places that most people wouldn't go, that most men wouldn't go.
That's right.
But she goes.
Well, she asked God to keep all snakes away.
Yeah, all snakes away. And mosquitoes. Snakes and mosquitoes. Keep them away.
But you remember one of those villages she goes to? They'll teach them and talk about Yeshua, about being born again. Mm-hmm. And she has the altar call. They all hold their hands up. She's led probably 70,000 of the pygmies to Yeshua.
Yes.
She first had that call to go there. Amen. They only thought there were a few thousand. But they
there's
come to find out there's lots and lots of
them. They call her mama.
Right. Amen. And they're really, really,
so good.
Really short. They're little people. Really
sure
little
are.
People. And if you go to her website, and I know that Sharon read that off. Maybe you didn't have time to write it down. Now she'll read it again. But you can also just type in Bree, B-R-E-E. That might be the easiest way. Keaton, K-E-Y-T-O-N. And you can see many of the pictures and see all
Ministries.
The different books that she has.
Yeah.
The other thing is she has written a book about spiritual warfare.
That's a good one.
What is that one big book that stripes?
Yeah,
nails, thorns, and the blood.
Yeah, it's in
nails,
there.
Thorns, and the blood.
That's a whole college course about spiritual warfare. I mean, she covered everything in that book that could possibly ever happen in this world demonically, and how to handle it. That's
and,
how much knowledge she has, because she's been through it all.
She's been through it,
and she'll have those. She will have that material there.
Right,
with
she'll
her
bring
if anybody would like to have, purchase it. So that's going to be a real blessing to have Dr. Bree Keaton with us on August the 10th at 1 o'clock.
And also she has her number one song that she sings, Stripes.
Stripes,
which has healed thousands and thousands by people listening to this song that she's written about the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
She's quite a woman of God, yeah.
Praise God. He's a miracle working God.
Sure.
Somebody else has something to share? Margie or Bob?
Well, just a few verses from where we are.
Get in front of the microphone, please.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
It only works directly.
In Colossians 3:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
That's a good one, yeah.
And we live in a world of spiritual warfare, and one of Satan's favorite things to do is to destroy the home. I had a fellow contact me this week that he wanted to come visit me with his girlfriend, and I was acceptable to that, and then he mentioned that he was married. And I said, wait a minute, tell me about this. And I was saddened to hear that he was spending this time with his girlfriend when he had a wife and children, and he thought that he could keep both and not have any negative effects. But I can tell you that if you have a wife that you're neglecting by chasing another woman, it has long-term effects. And
sure does.
He thought he could keep his children and his wife, but that's not the reality. you lose your children, they lose all respect for you. And I've seen it happen where the children grow up and they have the same standards that the erring father had, and it's very sad.
Sure is.
Yes.
Well, you know, you think about it, Roscoe and Audrey are dealing with that over in the Bahamas. They got pastors over there. They think it's okay to be married and have a mistress. And that's the spirit they're dealing with, you know. And so we got to be wise. How do we come to conclusions like that when it's so anti-God, you know?
It says it right in the Ten Commandments as well about do not commit adultery.
That's right. It's unreal, but that's what we have going on in the world today. So that's why we're in this world, but we're not part of it. We've got to stay away from all that. God wants us to be pure and holy.
Yes.
Well, that's why there's many new Bibles out, and they have watered down the Word of God, and to make it look like, well, we could just do anything. We're not living back in those days, so it's okay to change.
That's what
God's
they're doing,
word.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. There's so many young people, college kids and high school kids, and, you know, they're roommates. They should have, like my grandson, he's going to college. He got a scholarship, football, baseball scholarship. Well, he's not rooming with a girl.
No.
You know, no, he needs to have a room with a group of guys that are on the baseball team. So many of them are just, they live like they're married and they're not married.
That's right.
So why do that? You know, if you're going to live together, you need to get married.
That's another problem in our country today. Nobody can make a commitment to anything, you know? They can't commit to a job. They can't commit to a spouse. And that's why they don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. They can just pack up one day and leave, and there's no strings attached. But when you get married, then there's some strings attached. Well, they don't want that. But see, this is part of this life that we have. Committed. We're committed to Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going to pack up and leave on Him? I hope not.
No.
But this is what we have today, you know? Yeah. And so this thing now today is everybody accepts this thing about not being married and living together like you have with the privileges of being married. And it's so wrong. But a lot of pastors just accept it, you know? They don't want to turn anybody away. You know, they don't want their offerings to go down or anything. And we were in a place like that one time, and two people in the church were living together and not married. He never did one thing about it. Why? Because they were good tithers. Well, see, now what is that? That's sin.
Yes.
And sin has to be judged. And we got this thought in the church today, we don't judge anything. Oh, it don't matter. No, that's not what the scripture says. We're responsible to judge those things within our house. And leadership has a responsibility to correct those things that are in their house. And if not, then they're going to pay a penalty for it as well. So we just, you know, it's not that we just judge everything, but we know what right is from wrong. And that's what has to be judged. And if there's something wrong, well, the pastors have a responsibility. Well, Jonathan would tell you that for sure.
Yes.
You have to address it with those people individually and try to get them to come out of that and see the truth of it. And if not, well, then it's in their hands, because if we share it with them, well, then our responsibility is over with. It's been given to them. It's in their court. Now they have to play the game or not. And that's their choice.
Well, the Bible says that we have a conscience.
We sure
Even
do.
Even if we don't know certain things that's in the Bible, we
that's
have a
right.
conscience. Mm-hmm. But what's happened to people, that's what's happened to their conscience?
It's been seared.
It's been seared because they see the things on TV, movies, radio, where all kinds of commercials, anything. And they conform to that.
They hear it everywhere.
And they don't look at their Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't even know any scriptures.
Nope.
So they're conforming to the things of the world. And the Bible talked about the things of the world. You know, that we're not part of this world. Amen. There's another kingdom out there. Amen. And it's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so we're called to seek truth and seek holiness. Well, when you don't know it, when you don't get to that place where you don't care and you're just going to do what I want to do. It's me, my,
that's it.
Whatever I want to do, I'm going to do. And that's the attitude that many people have.
That's right.
Yep.
It's all about self.
That's right.
Self.
You got
it's all about self.
Self.
And it should be all about putting God first.
That's true. Yeah. Even in the church, a lot of things are about self. It's about serving. It's about being a blessing to others.
That's right.
Amen.
Praise
Helping
God.
Others.
Yes, that's true. And we see that all over. If you, in your neighborhood, you see that these things going on all over the United States.
That's right.
And of course, you know, the government's no help either, because they want to make these things legal. They want to make it legal for all this stuff that's going against God's word.
And our political leaders all agree with most of it, you know? Don't think anything about it. You know, the Lord gave me an acronym one time for the word self. Self engages living how?
Fruitless.
Fruitless. You have a fruitless life if that's what you're being led by. Amen?
Amen.
So self is now, God wants to get rid of self as much as possible and think about what other people are wanting to have done in a godly way.
Put on the mind of Christ.
Put on the mind of Christ in everything that we do.
That's good. That's
and if
good
we
sharing.
Do, then people's going to be blessed. Amen?
Well, I
Amen.
Think about Dr. Bree Keaton. You know, she does the things she does, it's not for herself.
Nope.
The pygmies travel across the ocean to a dangerous place where she's been chased with what does she call
machetes.
Those things?
Machetes.
Machetes, yeah. Almost killed, you know?
Bow and arrows.
Guns.
Guns, yes. Yeah, and going into those places where it's dangerous, not only just because people are chasing you, because of the snakes and the, you know, all the critters and stuff that's in there living in the jungles with trying to help those people, those pygmies. You know, God loves those pygmies just as much as he loves anyone else.
Sure
and,
does.
You know, a lot of people would think, well, they're not really people, but they are human beings. They are people. They're created in God's image, just like everyone's created in God's image. All of us are created in God's image. Thank you, Lord. Thank Amen. You, Lord. Are you looking for something, Pastor
Yeah, I quote it. I was just going to read it to him out of the Bible. It's in Hebrews. I think I went by it already, Dan.
Well, while you're saying that, I want to go back to the
here I found it real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
In Hebrews 12, verse 14, I marked this in my Bible years ago. Follow peace with all men, not some, and holiness. Well, what's holiness? Setting yourself apart for the Lord. If you come to him, he sets you apart, and he's expecting you to do your part. Now listen to this. Without which no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
Without holiness, we'll never stand before him. We'll be judged accordingly. All right, honey, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Follow peace with all.
All
of course,
men.
Men is in italics. So that would be all people,
That's
including
right.
women.
That's right.
A lot of people in the church don't want women around. You know, even the Jewish people, they would set the women on one side and the men on the other side.
They still do that today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Orthodox, not the Orthodox, but yeah, I guess it would be called that.
Orthodox, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And holiness. So we're to be seeking holiness, aren't we?
All the time.
And holiness is his truth.
That's it.
I would compare holiness to truth, without which no man shall see the Lord. So without this, we will not see the Lord. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God.
Requirements are here. It's in this book. But it's funny how so many people just read the word. Well, it depends what Bible they're reading too. And they water it all down. You know, like I think about the NIV. I'm not causing anybody to have a problem with it, I hope. But the NIV has, the last I heard, I think it's got more now, 64,098 less words than a King James Bible. Things is completely gone. And so I understand the newest one come out, they even got more things out now. So they're watering it down to make it suit what people want to do so they can feel good, say, well, what I'm doing is okay because my Bible says it's okay. But you have the right book.
How many Bibles are there? How many different Bibles are there out there?
There's...
Many.
Unbelievable how many Bibles are on the shelves now.
It doesn't mean you can't get saved reading another Bible. You know, when I first got saved, I read the Living Bible, which isn't even a Bible. It's a
translation. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase.
Paraphrase, amen. Yeah. But it talked about Jesus, and it touched my heart, and I got saved. But then the more truth you know, the more you change.
That's right.
And even the King James, you know, there every Jewish word, we can't get every single word, even in the King James, you know, because it's a different language.
That's right.
And if you don't speak Hebrew and you don't know all the word definitions, then you know you do lose something. You do lose a little bit. So
going from one language to the other, you do.
That's right.
For instance, we know the New Testament was written in called Koine Greek. There's no one speaks Koine Greek today. No one really knows, and so they have a struggle with that. These Greek experts think they know everything. Well, nobody ever, that we are aware of in this country or anywhere around, except for hundreds of years ago, spoke Koine Greek. It's a different language. And so where do they go? They go back to the original Greeks language and all that. It may not fit the situation. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
We want the truth and nothing but the truth.
Amen. So Amen. Help us, God.
That's right.
We want the truth and nothing,
nothing but
the
truth.
And nothing but the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And that's something else I love about Dr. Bree. Everything that she does and comes to teach, she backs up with the Word of
she
God.
Sure does.
And she gives a scripture that correlates right with what she's saying.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
It's wonderful.
She is a real blessing to the body of Christ.
You know, while I was over here in Hebrews 12, I just thought of something else that followed verse 14. You ever read that one? Look what this says.
Yes.
Looking diligently,
yep,
lest any man fail of the grace of God that we have, huh? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And when they've proven that, you know, if someone's got a spirit of bitterness, it'll defile you and everyone around you. And we've seen this Amen. Over and over in different situations in the church through the years.
Amen.
Bitterness is terrible. And we mentioned this so many times. You know, when the time comes to stand before God, one of the biggest sins is going to keep people out of heaven are going to be unforgiveness,
yes,
okay, and yes, having bitterness for some yes situation in their family. And some things are so ridiculous that they hang on to because of their personal feelings about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So we got to, God says you can't do that. You got to let it go and go on with Him. Forgive and let go. Amen?
Amen.
And you're right. Many of that's in the family.
That's right. It's in the family.
Well, the Bible talks about the you know, the mother and the father and
sure
the children and how they would come against each other.
That's right.
But we got to pray. What is that one over there in the last book of the Bible? Talks about bringing the fathers coming back to the children.
Yeah, Malachi, the last chapter, yeah.
Right. They would come back and we need to pray that. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
There's so many dysfunctional families. It's unbelievable today. You know, I think back when I grew up, and you're old enough to know that. You know, when we had dinner, our whole family sat at the table.
Yes.
And we didn't have one of the kids in the room playing some dinky game or something or
yes
other. And we ate, even with our kids, when we had dinner, we all sat at the same table. And that today, you don't see that.
Yes. You know, always said the blessing.
Even go to a restaurant today with a family, say with three kids. I watched them many times when we've been there. The husband's reading the newspaper or playing with his phone. The wife's playing with the phone. The three kids got some kind of video game they're playing, and they don't even have a conversation at the table at night.
Yes.
This is what we have today.
Yes. And that's in the restaurants.
That's in the restaurants.
Yes. If they were home, they would probably be somewhere else, not even
that's
at
right
the same table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the family unit is just being destroyed by Hasatan. The devil wants to destroy the family because he knows that's the foundation of the Word of God. It was in the very beginning. God would not leave Adam alone. He gave him a helpmate. Hallelujah. And so it's a family plan that God has. Amen. The family of God's the same way. So we want, no wonder where we're at, huh? And we got, you know, leadership in our country that are passing all these bills and everything that are so contrary to the Word of God. And nobody says anything about it. Just, you know, let it go. Thank God there's some voices out there.
Yes.
But we need a lot more. We really do. All right. Margie, did you have something you wanted to share there?
Oh, I thought anyone, I saw you. Anyone else?
Forgiveness is definitely the key.
That's right.
We cannot not forgive. It's right in the Lord's Prayer itself that we must forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. The Lord has done so much for us on the cross.
Yes.
He took all of our pain, our shame, all the terrible words peoples have called us. He's taken all of our sins, and He's put it to the cross to where we can forgive and say, Lord, help me to forgive if we cannot do it. We ask for the Lord's help. Help us to forgive. Help us to overcome this situation, because I truly have it in my heart that I want to be right standing with
yes,
you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And we do want to be always in the right standing with the Lord, so we
Amen
must walk in unforgiveness.
All the time.
All the time towards others.
Doesn't matter what happens.
Sharon.
whether you think you're right or wrong.
Yes.
You have to say, Lord, I don't care. I'm going to forgive. I don't care. I might think I'm right, but I could be wrong. I'm not going to do it. I've done that with so many times on my jobs over the years that I had to go to somebody and tell them, I don't know what I did, but let's just, I'm asking you to forgive me. Let us start over again. And the relationship went just far apart to like this, real close.
Well, you know, that's being humble, because yeah. if you think that you're right and you won't make a change, then you're pride. That's pride. And what does the Bible say about pride?
Mm-hmm. Pride comes before a downfall, big time.
Comes before a fall. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to read over here, because we're getting close to closing. We got a few more, 7 more minutes to go, so we got some more time. Somebody else has something to say, but I want to go over here to Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of good things in there.
That's a good chapter, yeah, it really is.
You know, the Holy Ghost will teach us and show us things to come, and even the things that are happening in our life now. I love this whole chapter, but I'm just going to start over here in verse 15. It says, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that, he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. So the law, or the Torah of God, is put into our hearts when we receive Jesus. Amen?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then we receive the Holy Ghost, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God gives us, he promised us that we would have the Holy Ghost, and the witness of that is praying in the Holy Ghost. So he said he would put the laws into their hearts and in their minds, so we would know what's right and what's wrong. And I will write them, So God's word and his laws are written in our what? It's in our heart, and it's in our mind.
That's right.
And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It says that it's from far as it is from the east to the west. Doesn't it say that somewhere
right.
in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Who? Why? Because of what Sharon said. Jesus paid it on the cross.
He paid the price.
Outside the gate.
That's it.
He paid it. The blood of
his
Jesus.
His blood did it.
That's right. That was the offering for sin. He was sinless, no sin, but he took on our sin, the sins of the world, actually, and that all men could come to the Lord, even the little pygmies. Amen.
Amen.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
So it's by the blood of Jesus that we can go into the Holy of Holies. See, the veil was rent in two from the top to bottom.
Verse 20 tells you that too,
doesn't
it?
God tore it down. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us
through the
veil, that is to say, his
flesh.
So that veil represents his flesh that took us into, that we can go boldly into the Holy of Holies. It says that also, too, about going boldly into the Holy of Holies in this chapter. So that veil, God ripped that veil from top to bottom, amen,
yes.
So that we could go into the Holy of Holies.
Anytime we want.
Anytime we want.
And anytime.
Anytime. Anytime. It's by a new and living way, amen.
That's right.
And having a high priest over the house of God. The high priest is the Yeshua, Jesus Christ
of
Nazareth.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And so 22, I have a star by 22. Let us draw
near
with a true heart. So he wants us to have a true heart, a pure heart,
yes.
In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with
pure water.
What is the pure water? The Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The pure water of the Word.
And washing of the Word, yeah.
Remember, Jesus was, when he was on the cross, they put a sword into his side, by his heart, under his heart, and water and blood came out. Water and blood came forth. And that, to me, that's showing us a picture of the blood and the water and the cleansing that came, because he was willing. He willingly gave himself and died on that cross for all, that all would come, because God so loved John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone that would come to him would be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
So we got a few more minutes. We don't think about this with some people that's listening, maybe. You know, maybe you're listening and saying, boy, that's a high requirement there, Pastor Gene, for us to do. But, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yes.
And, you know, you may be thinking, well, I can live the way I want. and I'm going to take care of myself, and I'll do it the way I want, and I'm going to be okay. Well, the scriptures don't say that.
No.
If you've made one mistake, no matter how little it is, it means you need a Savior. And so today we've been talking about some important things, about the holiness that God wants. And the only way you can have that is to come to Yeshua, ask Him to come in. He'll cleanse you of all your sin, past, present, and future, and you begin to walk with Him, and you'll have a new life and a new beginning.
Amen.
And you'll never be the same again. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Do that today. Make that choice to walk a holy life. It doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what somebody tells you or whatever. You got to follow this book, and this is your guidebook.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. And if you do, you're going to have no fear to stand before God one day. Because whether we believe it or not, all of us one day is going to stand before God. And so I don't want to be ashamed to stand there. How about you? I don't. And I don't want anybody listening to this radio program to ever feel that way. And all you have, it's a simple, you know, it's no big, everybody makes a big deal out of it. Just say, Lord, I give up. I commit my life to you from this point on. It's that simple.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not hard at all. I did it one day, and I remember the one thing that I told God when I asked Him, because I had never prayed in my life. I says, I'm making a commitment to you today, and I've never released that in any way, shape, or form. So we love you all. We hope you receive something here today for your benefit. Get into your Bible. Look and see what it says, and not just the New Testament. Go through the entire Bible. It fits together like a puzzle. Just they complement one another, and so God wants to. He has a purpose and a destiny for all of your lives. He has a goal, purpose for you. He's got what He wants you to do. So, Margie, as we close out, blow that shofar for us. Margie's
one more time.
Margie's getting real good on that. Hallelujah.
Now God has a plan and a destiny for everyone listening.
That's right.
Pray and ask Him what your plan and your destiny in life is, and He will answer you.
He's going to show you the way.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here on WCNO every Saturday from 12 noon till 1 p.m. So come out and celebrate with us the Sabbath today at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church at 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And we would be glad to meet you and come worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Now, Miss Margie may not have taught anything today, but I tell you what she just did is what you're going to hear from heaven one day. And that means we're going to be going to, Jesus is coming to take us away and to carry us off to heaven. So we just thank you and we bless you. And we all say Shabbat shalom.
And I tell you to look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Sabbath peace and rest. Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.